Well, I certainly appreciate all the thoughts that Brother Larry has shared with us this morning, and appreciate his fervent prayer. While he was talking to us about Psalm 23, I thought about a passage of Scripture I came across this morning in Psalm 39 and verse 3. David would say, my heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. That word muse is used there, and it basically means to meditate. When you're musing on something, you're pondering it, you're meditating, you're thinking deeply about the subject that's on your mind, you're musing. And the word muse is different from the word amuse. When people are being amused, they're being entertained. We all get some amusement in life, maybe you're listening to some country music like our brother mentioned, or maybe watching a TV show. It's amusing. It's entertaining. But musing is when you're thinking deeply. You're meditating on something. It becomes a part of your thinking process. It becomes a part of your lifestyle. So David, here in Psalm 39 and verse 3, says, my heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned. There are things in Scripture that you and I can meditate on, and it causes our hearts to burn within us. Wonderful, isn't it? To be able to meditate, to think upon the Lord, to have our hearts burning within us. And you know, even in singing, we can muse, we can meditate. David, the Apostle Paul said in his letter, I think, to the Ephesians, teaching one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. When you and I are singing to one another, we're teaching one another. You're not entertaining one another. Now, a lot of religion today is about entertainment. I remember back when, I go way back. I can remember when churches did not have bands or orchestras. They just had a piano or maybe an organ. Now, they've got live bands. The largest church in Alabama, and the third or fourth largest in the country now, has professional musicians and singers. They pay them large amounts of money to come in and entertain the people. Now, you know, if that's what they want, that's okay. That's their business. But I can't see that in Scripture. In Scripture, we're to sing, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. And we're to teach one another. Did y'all learn anything during the song service this morning? I love that song, Did You Think to Pray? I hadn't heard it in a long time, but boy, it spoke to me. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? In the name of Christ our Savior, did you sue for loving favor as a shield today? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer can change the night to day. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. That spoke to my heart. When sore trials came upon you, did you think to pray? When your soul was bowed in sorrow, balm of Gilead did you borrow at the gates of day? And then that song that we sung, and I wanted to turn to it just a moment. It really spoke to my heart. Number 8 in the hymn book, God moves in a mysterious way, His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep and unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, He treasures up His bright designs and works His sovereign will. Wow. There's 6 verses in that song. You know, I've known people through the years that would just sit in their house and read the songbook. I mean, the songs just teach us. Now, not every song, I don't believe the songbook is inspired like the Bible. There's no error in Scripture. So when you're singing, you have to give them a little poetic liberty. But I want to tell you, singing church hymns can teach us and help stir up our pure minds and cause us to meditate on the goodness of God. I had another subject on my mind this morning, but as Brother Larry mentioned the 23rd Psalm, it really stirred my mind up on it. So I'd like to go back and maybe think with you all a while this morning about the 23rd Psalm. And reading it every day would be good, and memorizing it probably wouldn't be too difficult for the average person. But David is writing this psalm. Now, he was referred to as the shepherd king. He was a shepherd over his father's sheep when he was a young boy. He later became king in Israel. So you could refer to David as the shepherd king. But as he writes Psalm 23, he's not writing it as a shepherd. He's writing it as a sheep. Do y'all see that? The Lord is my shepherd. And I love that word, the, not a Lord. There's only one Lord, only one true and living God. The Lord is my shepherd. It's very personal. And beloved, as we take Brother Larry's advice and meditate on this psalm on a regular basis, let's make it personal. The Lord is your shepherd. He's their shepherd, but He's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. How many of y'all ever think about it personally? You know, beloved, there's a lot of things that you and I can know, but it's not going to do us much good until we internalize it, and it becomes ours. We claim it. You know, there's an old expression, knowledge is power, but that's not exactly right. Knowledge is power when applied properly. Jesus said, if you know these things, that's knowledge. Happy are ye if you do them. That's applying what you know. Knowing to wash one another's feet is good. But when you start practicing it is when you get the blessing out of it. And so, beloved, let's look at this psalm personally this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm glad He's your shepherd, but I'm very thankful He is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So David is really saying to us in the first verse that the shepherd of our souls provides all that we need. The Lord is my shepherd, so I shall not want. And really, if you look at Psalm 23 for a moment, you'll realize it can be a very humbling psalm. Very humbling. Because in the psalm, we are described as sheep. How many of y'all hope you're one of God's sheep? I see everybody nodding. You hope you're one of His sheep. You want to hear Him say on that final day, to those on his right, his sheep, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The goats on the left, but the sheep on the right. But the truth is, how many of us really think of ourselves in this world as sheep? See, sheep in the natural realm are not glamorized. I've asked this question a lot of times from the pulpit. How many sports teams do you know that are named sheep? We got the Georgia Bulldogs. We got the Atlanta Falcons. We got Lions and Tigers. How many of y'all know of one? Now, I'm not as familiar with sports teams as some of you are. If y'all know of a sports team anywhere named Sheep, I want y'all to tell me about it after church. Nations don't use sheep to represent them. You know what was chosen to represent the United States of America? The eagle, the bald eagle, the mighty golden eagle represents our nation. Russia chose the bear. England chose the lion. No nation chooses a sheep to represent them. Why is that? Now, I'm going to tell you all this morning, this psalm, if we really take it personally and understand it, it will be very humbling. Because what it does is it shows us that how much like sheep we all really are. First of all, a sheep is a defenseless animal. They have no way of defending themselves. They can't run fast like a rabbit. When I take Molly up to the college about every day to walk, and if she sees a squirrel or she sees a rabbit, she takes off after them. She's yet to catch one of them. Those squirrels are quick. They can climb brick walls. Rabbits can run fast. Molly doesn't stand a chance. But a sheep cannot run fast. They just can't. They're defenseless. And did you know that represents you and me? You say, now, wait a minute, Brother Sam. I got a shotgun. I got 3 or 4 handguns. I can take care of myself. Well, I don't think there's a thing wrong with having guns. I don't. My brother Franklin slept with one under his pillow, a handgun and a shotgun under his bed. But I want to tell you, beloved friends, in the end, if God is not our defender, you think we can take care of ourselves? Now, God can help us take care of ourselves in ways that we ought to, but I want to tell you, you and I, by nature, are just as defenseless as a lamb or a sheep is against the wolves and against the tigers and coyotes. No, you and I, you know, it's very humbling just to say, Lord, if you don't take care of me, I'm gone. We are defenseless without his help. And I believe in locking your doors and having your gun handy if that's okay, but I want to tell you, your trust should not be in your locks and in your guns, but in the Almighty. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Now, if God has given you a mind to think with and you feel led to have guns and locks, that's fine. And in our day and time, it's advisable to have all that. When I was growing up down the road here, we didn't even have any locks on our doors. We had a latch for the screen door to keep the cats and dogs out, but we didn't have locks. Can y'all believe that? How many of y'all would go to sleep tonight comfortably knowing that your doors were not locked? But I want to tell you, without God's care, if he doesn't keep us as the apple of his eye, and you know, that's an interesting way God would describe us. He said, I'll take care of you. You're the apple of my eye. An eye is a very vulnerable part of our body. I mean, if it can easily be put out. But the first thing you want to do when something's coming at you is to put your hand up here to protect your eye. And I want to tell you this morning, you're the apple of his eye. And you're in the hollow of his hand, the scriptures say. Is that a safe place to be? I want to tell you, beloved, that would really help all of us to have more peace in our lives if we just understood the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And furthermore, a sheep is really not only defenseless, it's very dependent. Sheep cannot find green pasture and still waters on their own. They just can't do it. They don't have that ability. They've got to have a shepherd to guide them to green pastures and still waters. And I want to say to all of us today, we need our shepherd to guide us and direct us and provide for us. And let me tell you, when God blesses us with something in this life, let's acknowledge that every gift, every good and perfect gift comes from where? From above. From the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know, I think that probably in James refers to a sun clock. And you know, as the sun would move, that the shadow of that clock would change all through the day. And people could know what time it was by where the shadow was, because it was always changing. But your God is not like that. He's unchangeable. In whom is, listen to that text. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of Adam and Eve, is our God today, and he's not changing. And let me tell you, beloved, if you receive a blessing in this life, and we all do constantly, and God may give it to you through somebody. Recently, I received a wonderful gift from somebody that I haven't seen in a long time. His parents were dear friends of mine, and he was able to sell something, and he said, "Brother Sam, I just felt led to send you a little of my profit." And I really appreciated it. And I thanked him for it. But I know ultimately where that came from. It came from God. Now God sent it to me through this young man. And I thanked him. But indirectly, I want to tell you, every good and perfect gift comes down from God in heaven. How many of y'all would agree with that? See, sometimes people will give us something anonymously. I had breakfast down at the Waffle House a few weeks ago, and I enjoyed it. And when I went up to pay, the cashier said, "Sir, somebody's already paid for your breakfast." I don't know who it was. I didn't know anybody in that restaurant that day. But somebody, for some reason, bought and paid my breakfast. It was anonymous. But I want to tell you, I thanked God for that person who laid it on their heart to buy my breakfast. I don't think the devil did that. God did it. Now, beloved friends, really, our blessings are not given to us anonymously, because we know who gave them to us, don't we? Ultimately, they all come from God. Every good and perfect gift. Whether it's another car, another house, another suit of clothes, another meal, another child being born into the family, it's all coming from him. We are helpless in ourselves, but our shepherd is watching over us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And you and I, beloved friends, we would enjoy our time on this earth so much more if we always saw ourselves as little helpless, defenseless, dependent sheep, but we've got a wonderful shepherd who's always there watching over us and caring for us. And there's another thing about sheep that is not complimentary to us, but it's true. And I'm going to say something now that might offend some of you. I don't know. But I want to tell you, sheep are dumb animals. They're just plain dumb. They have no sense of direction. Franklin used to have a lot of Martin gourds at his house, and those martins would fly hundreds of miles on their migration and come right back to the same martin, a gourd. Now, how did they know to do that? And have y'all ever seen a martin go into a gourd, pew, just like that? How did they remember that? How did they know where to come back and where to come? I've been reading about hummingbirds, and I don't know where they are. I don't have any. I'm sure missing hummingbirds. But I have heard that hummingbirds will sometimes come back to the same feeder after migrating across the Gulf of America and hibernating down there and coming back. And they make that journey on a little tank no bigger than my thumb. How do they do that? They don't need a shepherd. God gave them something in them that helps them know their way. Cats, you can take them 100 miles away in a croaker sack. They may just show back up at your house in a few days. Horses, cows. You ever saw an ant that was lost? But sheep, you get them a few feet from the flock and they're lost. They need a shepherd. And I want to tell you all this morning, you and I need a shepherd. You say, Brother Sam, I went to college. I've got a doctorate degree. Well, that's good. And I'm sure that's a blessing. I have nothing wrong with education. But I want to tell you all this morning, dear friends, Donald Trump is still just a little sheep. How many of y'all would say amen to that? He's just still a little dumb sheep. I don't know how Mr. Trump would appreciate me saying that. After what happened to him up there in Pennsylvania, he might say amen. Because I want to tell you, if God had not been watching over him, he wouldn't be with us today. And he knows that. He's acknowledged that. You say, Brother Sam, I just don't want to be called dumb. Well, here's the good news. You got a shepherd that's not dumb. He knows the way. And you and I would be very wise to follow the shepherd. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone to his own way. It's in our nature to stray away. And what happens to a sheep when they stray away from the flock? They get in great danger. Because there's a wolf out there waiting on them. Satan himself, who comes. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that thief is the devil himself. And he's robbed many a child of God as they've strayed away from the flock. See, we have a flock here at Cool Springs. And they took me in as a little boy when I was 15 years of age, and I was safe as long as I was within this church, around my brothers and sisters in Christ, and under the influence of gospel singing and gospel preaching, there was safety there. But if I got out there in the world, there was great danger. Are y'all with me this morning? How many of us need the church? How many of us need to stay within the flock? Let me tell you, a sheep out there by himself is no match for a wolf or for a lion. But let me tell you, that shepherd's got a rod and he's got a staff and he can take care of your enemies. Amen. Amen. Oh, brothers and sisters, I love the 23rd Psalm. It'll humble you, but at the same time, it'll give you incredible peace because you've got a shepherd to watch over you and take care of you. When I was in Africa, people used to ask me a lot, Brother Sam, did you have any close calls over there? Were you scared? Well, see, he's a shepherd over there just like he is right here. Listen, I was just as safe in Africa as I was in my own bed if God was watching over me. Now, I will acknowledge there was one time, Brother Obey's youngest brother, named Jonah, was not a good driver. I never had anybody threaten my life, but I can tell you one time he scared the daylights out of me. He came as close to falling off the side of a mountain as you could get. I did wonder if God didn't just reach down and grab the bumper and keep it on the road. But I want to tell you, brothers, God can take care of us. I love that song. God will take care of us. But we need to stay with the sheep and the shepherd, right? If you get out there on your own, you're in great danger. I want to thank y'all today for listening. God bless you.